Welcome everyone to Hospitality 360 Live with myself, and obviously we've got an esteemed panel today. Some exciting news, some news around the globe. I mean, there's so much going on. Let me just kind of introduce our panel. Jeff Dresko, quarterback of the Houston Texans. Jeff, how are you today?
Doing great, doing great. Live from the car, so that's part of this industry is moving around. So I'm getting it all.
Yeah, just don't get yourself in a no huddle system there.
That's right. We're stationary.
Yeah. Okay, then we got Calvin Stovall, the president of EV. Calvin, how are you today?
Super fantastic.
Awesome. And then obviously the esteemed Brian J. Esposito. We don't see a private jet behind him, but, you know, the chief strategy, chief investor, chief do-it-all of EV. So, Brian, how are you?
Doing well, boys. Good to be on the show again.
Awesome. Yeah, so we've got some exciting news in the world of hospitality this week. We got so much to cover. Obviously, all these gentlemen are part of EV. We were going to have Virginia, but Virginia is stuck with some travel plans in Cancun. So fortunately, we couldn't get Virginia on the show. But she will be here next week, along with Stephanie Malik. She'll be here as well next week, and I know Brian knows her very well, and I know Calvin knows her, and hopefully we'll get Jeff back on the show next week as well. So I got a surprise to start out with. I guess we've got a fan of the show. Her name is Karina Barton. She's out of Arizona. She knows about our downtown Phoenix project, the first EV going up, and she has sent us a video, so I'm actually just gonna take it right into it. Let's take a look. I haven't seen it myself either. So
this is
dangerous, man.
But Karina's amazing. CPR.
Yeah. Let's take a look, guys.
I'm Karina Burton, co-owner of CPR Construction Cleaning and author of 21 Day Alignment Workbook Challenge. I love Hospitality 360 Live with Ken Patel. He features amazing guests, great topics, forward and innovative. Don't miss out.
Wow. Promo video.
Promo video. Yes. I got to thank Karina for that. She's awesome. Nice. I believe that we're working on getting her on the show, but let's see what happens. You know, she's one of the best people there on LinkedIn. I know she does great work. She's got a phenomenal background. Hopefully we get to hear her story on the show. I value her with a lot of the family values she comes with. So phenomenal. I know Brian probably has something to say on that. So.
Yeah, I mean, she is a powerhouse and one of the hardest working people I know. She took that CPR construction from nothing in its infancy to a multi-million dollar business, huge projections going forward, and doing construction on-site cleanup much different than anybody in the market. So I'm happy for her and her team and her family, and I wish her nothing but the best of luck going forward.
Yes, we can't wait to have her on the show and hear about the great things that she does throughout the industry as well. So guys, it's October 15th. Of 2021. What a month and a half away from ending this year of 2021 that everyone wants it to go away in some way, some form.
With early paycheck, you can get your direct deposit. And
I think
that's another reason.
I think we have probably tremendous amount of things that are going on in this industry moving forward, right? And we look at what does 2022 in a way bring to us, and what is it about, right? What is it about this industry that's probably going to change? What is it about hotels that's going to change as well? So that kind of takes me to our first piece. And I would probably say, and one thing before I even go there is I probably want to ask, what is the best thing that has happened to you guys this week? And I'll go to Jeff first. What is the best thing that has happened to you this week, Jeff?
Man, the you hit me first. Best thing that happened
to me this That's week. My surprise for the week.
Yeah, I'll keep it personal, and I was able to take my daughter to gymnastics for the first time. So,
beautiful.
You know, fortunate enough to work in a place where I have a little time to do some family stuff as well. So that's the best thing I did.
Awesome. So it wasn't the Texans win or anything of that sort. So
well, if it would have been a win, it might have been a different best thing. I'm
in that same boat. Don't worry, I'm a Giants fan. I expect a losing game every week now. What about you, Brian? What about you?
Besides waking up, right? That's always a blessing. Definitely what's happening at Turncoin and the exchange and the virtual stack. So we went public in July on Securitize, Cape Town headquartered South African company. And we put forth after 5 years of work, the ability to invest in people. So celebrities, athletes, entertainers, musicians, influencers, and can put virtual shares of themselves to their fans and their followers to support them and be on their journey with them. And we got the full support of Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Randy Jackson of American Idol, and a lot more to be announced. But the momentum and the excitement and the announcements coming out of Turncoin are pretty phenomenal. So that's been very rewarding and great to see an amazing team be able to pull this off.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Hopefully that's one day EV. We'll hope.
I could definitely see virtual stacks have some presence in EV hotels around the world for sure.
Awesome. Calvin?
Actually, the best thing this week happened to me this morning. I actually got an opportunity to keynote a conference this morning.
So I
had a chance to inspire some people for the National Equipment Finance Association. So I was at the Hilton early this morning, pouring into some people, talking about how to be an iconic brand. So I had a great morning, man.
Wow.
I wish you let me know. Would have loved to sit in on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I see the famous Calvin Stovall up on that next to the microphone. You
know? It's great. I love doing that, man. It just the reaction from the audience is just, it's nothing like it.
I know. That's the best feeling to know that they care, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'll go as well. I got, it was, I think, 2 days ago now, and, you know, my daughter's teacher calls, and she tells me that, you know, your daughter's now moved up in the rankings of her class, and, you know, she's going to be getting an award for this, and I was like, wow, awards in first grade, so I should be happy, you know? I'm like, and, you know, it's also why I pay attention to her. But the best thing possible is to just know, you know, that she's doing the right thing in school more than anything. So
congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, she says she loves Hospitality 360. So that's the other part.
That's good. Another can in the making.
Oh, my God. She turns on that YouTube, puts my name in, and starts watching all the videos. It's so crazy. She told my wife the other night, she's like, you should see Daddy's hotel. He has a smart mirror.
That's nice. And
cracking up. I'm like, man, I got some sort of child that pays attention to everything. So I got to watch what I say.
That's cool, man.
So let me take you guys. So we'll get into our first piece here. And this is my love, and I'm sure you guys have some sort of love. And I think Brian's got the most love for this. Is let's talk about crypto. You know, it's a topic that has been happening in the industry now for a while, right? We've been talking about how is crypto going to play a part in the hospitality industry. What is it going to do? Is it going to just be there for a little time? Is it going to play a huge part? Or is it just not going to play a huge part of some sort, right? So I kind of look at crypto, and as people know, we've got a portion of crypto attached, and I'm sure you guys will hear all about it very soon. But crypto is really creeping up in the hospitality industry. I will let you know some of the insights, and I know our panel will obviously chime in a lot more than what I'm even speaking about. But what I know is Cheap O'Hare, one of the largest travel agencies, they utilize crypto. Virgin Galactic has utilized crypto for a while. What is crypto? Who's it geared towards? It's the Gen Z, the younger generation, wants to utilize crypto in every way possible. What did Expedia do? Expedia was accepting it, then they stopped it in 2018. But what did that mean for a product of Travelia, I think it is? Travelia.com. And they've had more than 1 million crypto acceptance on a weekly basis, right? There's 1 billion in crypto on the Visa network. I mean, there's so much going on with this. When we look at it, it's coming. It's obviously coming. This is a $1 trillion industry. You know, Bitcoin alone, I don't know what the valuation currently is, but last time I checked, it was like 800 billion. Maybe I'm sure in the last like 72 hours, it's probably way
up. 7 seconds.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll go to you, Brian, first. I know the love that you have for crypto, and, you know, you and I speak about this almost on a daily basis. So why don't you chime in? Give us the Brian J version of these.
Well, I'm going to replace the word love with knowing it was going to be a new asset class and how do I play in it? You know, that's what where I had to look at it. And how do we make money and how do we utilize that that digital asset in our own businesses? I'm not a speculator. I don't play in other crypto assets. We build our own and we build value behind our own. So my experience is hands-on with our own technologies and solutions. Now, as it relates to the hospitality world, yeah, even though it may be a generational thing, and I hope some of the things that we're offering and we'll be announcing, Ken, we're going to bridge that gap. But still, right. Families go on vacations, right? So if mother and father take their kids, even if the mother and father aren't participating in any digital assets or crypto, their kids are now looking around or trying to figure out how can they interact with some sort of crypto component in that hotel, in that resort, or during that experience. So, you know, hotels that may think that their audience doesn't participate, well, the families of that audience are participating. It's, you said it's coming, it's here. Now, as far as, you know, EV and what we're doing, we want to put in place great technologies like Nodal, where people can connect with IoT devices and earn cryptocurrency just from visiting the facility. And we built a technology where anybody around the world can earn crypto just by downloading an app. Now, this is great for the staff. It's great for the guests. It's great for the overall experience because it increases earnings. And then you also open up the ability where people can connect and pay for things in crypto through a digital wallet. So it's, you know, it's another, to make it very simple, if you have crypto in an asset allocation in your portfolio, you want to be able to use it. Or if you're one of those people that just want to park it and let it sit there and hopefully it grows, that's fine. But I like the idea of the utility behind it. How do you get it to be moving? How do you get people to accept it, use it, buy goods, buy services? And, you know, that's what we want to accomplish at EV Hotel and hopefully elevate the entire hospitality industry and knowing how to use crypto in their facility and how to make it worth their time and more valuable for their property.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I've been in love myself personally with crypto for a very long time. I just felt, and I've looked at the currency aspect of things here. I've been involved in crypto since $141. I'll remember that number for the rest of my life. So, you know, and that's how much I bought the Bitcoin for. But, you know, I just think that, you know, crypto is going to change the world. I mean, Mark Cuban with the Dallas Mavericks accepts Dogecoin for his merchandise. You know, as the retailers keep developing more, it's going to, I just can't wait to see it all play out. That's Calvin.
You know, one of the things I love about this show, Ken, is that the articles that you send us to review totally opens up my mindset to new stuff. and I love that. I love that about you. And so
This is all new
stuff to me. So yeah. The article today was absolutely fascinating about how many. I had no idea there's 100 million cryptocurrency holders.
Yeah.
You go through the world, it's just amazing. You go and you think this crypto world is this tiny little thing and it's only a few people doing it. But there's a lot of people out there doing it. And,
yes.
And reading about the Traveler and Viator and some of these other brands, you know, and them targeting. I know it's the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas.
Yes.
They're going to be the early adopters. All of us older folk, we'll catch up later. But there'll be laggards out there. But from what I read, it's here to stay. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm happy to be a part of EV and that we're looking at this and, you know, seriously, because again, it's all about guest convenience. And if they have an additional way to pay for travel and to stay at a hotel and have a great experience, I think it's wonderful. So I'm gonna continue to learn about it. I'm gonna become a crypto expert. I'm gonna be like Brian.
Yeah. Why well, I tend to
don't,
get a
don't
little
go through my school because I got my ass kicked everywhere. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna try to avoid all the stuff you didn't do right. See.
I mean, I tend to learn a lot too from Brian.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool.
Ever since I met Brian, I've been able to learn quite a few things. So. You know, let's just keep going on Brian. But Jeff?
Yeah, my first thought was kind of how Disney, like you go to Disney World and they give you a Disney World wristband. And I've kind of watched kids like enjoy using their wristbands to buy things, to buy items. And I was just thinking, like, people who have all of this crypto saved up, they can finally buy something with it. Like, that's exciting. That's an experience in itself. So that was kind of my first thought was, you know, you mirror up technology and an experience. That's what people are looking for right now. It's kind of a match made in heaven.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's this crypto piece, it's just not going to go away. I know I hear countries that are banning it without saying which countries, but, you know, I still think that, you know, we saw it with Miami coin, right? We've saw it with Miami. I know San Francisco's talking about something. Austin's talking about something. So, you know, I think it's creeping up now. And I think 2022, we're going to see this thing go full force. So, you know, yes to crypto. That's what we say. So let's kind of shift focus a little bit, guys. I'll probably say that our next piece comes from Indy. And I guess one of the things out of this article from Indianapolis came in and talked about that labor is caused by different factors than the unemployment benefits that we all thought it was the unemployment benefits. I'm not going to kind of speak for everybody, but I'm going to say I thought myself too, you know? But I did say one thing is that if there's two factors, is I thought the unemployment benefits, we got rid of them. Yes, good thing. People might think about returning to work and see, look, it doesn't pay off. They need to get back to work. But my second factor in this whole time since the pandemic happened, was childcare. I've said that the childcare expense is going to weigh more heavily than any other item, just because it's not because people can afford it. What has happened is that the schools are closing. Because of the school closings, whether it's early dismissals or telling parents that, look, your child was in a way at school and somebody else got COVID, now they got to be quarantined, stay home. So a lot of those things happened, right? A Yale expert said the unemployment benefits didn't reduce, or I'm sorry, unemployment wasn't caused by the fact of the benefits. And some of the other things that they stated was early retirement, that people just chose to retire early. Definitely not the case for me, but I'm still here. But here's the kicker, guys, okay? I have something that I don't think we discuss a lot, and that is the stock market. The stock market. Because what I'm looking at here is during this pandemic, the stock market rose over 30,000 points in for the first time in its history. We had so many new investors, so many retail investors, so many people that were on the FOMO for GameStop. You had people that were making $30,000 a year, bought GameStop. Now they don't need to work for the rest of their life. And, you know, there's things like that that I look at and I'm like, look, I think we forgot about the stock market, you know. And but, you know, I'll go to Calvin first. Calvin, what do you think? Why do you think that there's been other factors, or what do you think about the whole topic here that we have out of Indy?
Yeah, I think it was just the perfect storm. I just think a lot of things bubbled up at the same time. And because I'm sure a lot of people did think that once the unemployment benefits went away, there was going to see this surge of people going out there and see the unemployment, you know, drop. But, you know, I agree with you. I think there's just so many factors, COVID things going on. I do agree with daycare. All of those things are true. And also, I mean, we cannot. We can't forget about a lot of people evaluated their lives. People had time to sit down and think about, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? And, you know, so it just seems like the world is just in a weird place right now. People are just looking at life a little bit differently. Do I want to go back to that job? Do I want to spend my days there anymore? And so you don't see, you know, people going, they're just not going back. What is it called? The Great Resignation? I saw a stat. This blew my mind, and I had to write it down. It said in 2020, people quitting their job made up roughly 18% of all job separations in April 2020.
Wow.
Okay. A year later, quits jumped to nearly 70% of all job separations. That's huge. People are just like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go do something else. And so I just think it's just a lot of stuff going on at the same
time. Yeah, tons. I mean, I've always said is we can speculate to whatever, you know,
right.
We all have our own opinions. It'll be time that the truth comes out. So I'm waiting for it. Brian?
I don't know if it's, I just think it's a lot of factors. And the thing about it is it depends on people's personal situations. And it's just like, it's just all converged. It's just a lot.
It's a reset.
I agree. It's a reset.
Yep. Brian?
Yeah, you said something where the unemployment benefits didn't start the unemployment rate, but it damn well enforced it. I mean, everybody was forced to stay home, right? Let's not forget that. They were forced to stay home outside of non-essential workers. And it was very gray area as to what was considered essential, what was considered not. So there was a lot of playing with the system there. And then telling people that they can stay home and be paid, they took it because they were scared. Every news channel they put on, they were told they were going to get sick and die. So why would anybody want to go to work? They're living in fear.
Yeah.
So you saw a lot of things happen. You saw people deciding to stay home. You saw people. I like the word. You like the way you said the word reset. I think you saw a lot of people and families refocus on what their skill sets are and their talents and take this moment as a chance to reinvent themselves. I could just go by my experience on LinkedIn. I've never seen such a boom in coaches and consultants in my life. Every message I get is a consultant or a business coach. And that might be the number one job right now is being that. And I don't know what unemployment numbers count people taking unemployment checks or government supplement checks, but I don't know how they look at the boom in another industry starting. And those numbers may come out next year when we see that, wow, a lot of people went and started businesses. They hired people. There were independent contractors at 1099. All those numbers, I don't believe are calculated into the system now. And the last thing is people have to get back to work. You know, I don't care if they made a bunch of money in GameStop. You have to have some self-worth and you need to have some purpose in your life. And now, whether that's working for yourself, and like I mentioned, if you're a business coach, or maybe you're now you're going to be a wealth advisor because you hit a home run with GameStop, you do need to have purpose. And that's where it comes back to pride, doing something you love, and the culture of the company either that you want to work in or the company that you want to start. Yep. So those are my opinions on what happened and what's continuing to happen. And you know, unfortunately, we just got to wade it through. You know, you got to bucker down and let this hurricane storm go through and then pick up the pieces and see what the hell happened.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. I think, look, if you've made a lot of money with that stock market, you still got to work. I mean, you got to have that. You got to get back into it. I mean, I think everybody's.
It was a big chunk of younger people that maybe don't understand they owe taxes on that money, and they're going to have a holy shit moment. They went out and bought very expensive cars. They're flashing all this. Yeah. Like that, easy come, easy go. If you're not smart with the money, and if you're not experienced and prepared, and it's nobody's fault. If you're younger and you get that amount of wealth very quickly, you're not prepared to handle it. That's just part of being too young.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they're gonna get some surprises when they get their Robin Hood statement by January 31st. So I think it's the surprises are coming. I mean, I tell people, I'm like, look, remove that stock within a year and you'll have a nice big surprise at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but yeah, well said, Brian. Well said. Jeff?
Can you hear me okay?
Of course. Of course.
Right. I mean, the short answer is I don't know. Everybody has their own reasons for making decisions. I can only kind of speak from my world, which is professional football. Last year, there was an opt-out option for players. You were able to opt out, and you didn't lose the year on your contract, but you didn't receive the salary that you were under contract for. And some of these reasons were, hey, I want to spend this time with my family, or hey, I'm scared. I don't want to bring this home to my newborn. There's not enough information out there. So there was a lot of reasons last year why guys didn't want to play. And then in this year, nobody opted out. So I don't know if that was there's more information out there or whatever. But there's just from that small sample size, there were so many different reasons, which leads me to believe that's, you know, how it looks in society is there's so many factors that you can't nail it down.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great soundbite. I'm going to have to send to get some knowledge of what happens behind the scenes in the NFL there. You know, I thought you were going to make a comment on the Raiders, but we'll leave that for next week.
I'm going to put the mic off here.
Yeah. But yeah, no, good stuff, Jeff. Good stuff. So, we'll obviously move on. I just think this labor thing is like every week, it's not going to stop. We're going to keep talking about it. And, you know, just hopefully we make a 360 on this thing in 2022, hopefully. So, because I'm just looking at it as, and this is my personal opinion on this, is whenever I'm going somewhere, and I think I was out at dinner last night and I was actually traveling for the last few days almost in different states. And I would tell you, it's kind of crazy is that the states I was in, I saw that people, restaurants or shops, or it was even Chick-fil-A, and it was just a hiring sign everywhere. It was a hiring sign everywhere. And now I'm seeing it. I didn't see this where I live for the last like probably 2 months. And then last night we went to this Italian restaurant right by where I live. And I've never seen them have a hiring sign during the whole pandemic, And somehow they had a hiring sign. And there, I asked the owner, I'm real good friends with the owner. And he moved from New York down here in like 2019. And he says, I've never had a hiring issue. And I asked him, you know, his name's Angelo. I said, Angelo, what's the issue? And he's like, everybody's just calling out sick. And I was like, oh my God, Angelo. And why I laugh at that is because that was happening before the pandemic, where you'll have randomly people are like calling out, right. You know?
Right, right.
But now it's like happening where you know that they don't want to come to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm seeing hiring signs, Ken, and I'm also seeing a lot of signs that saying either, you know, due to a labor shortage, our dining room is closed. You can only go order through drive-through. I'm also seeing signs that say our hours are reduced because of staff shortages. It's just everywhere you go. And the sad thing is, when you do go in some of those establishments, the people that are there aren't that friendly either.
So, no. You know? I just feel bad for the owners. I really do.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's I feel horrible. Like I know what people are gonna tell me afterwards after this show is why do you care what they feel? Because I care about everybody. I care about how everyone feels. And I think at the good times they were great. Now they're in bad times. So it's a situation where, you know, they thought they weren't going to operate inside of their business, but now they have to operate themselves inside of the business.
Tie it back into a hotel. What's around a hotel? You got nail salons, you got hair salons, you got restaurants, you got bars, you have the service industry. So tie it to an EV hotel. You want an EV hotel in a local economy where there are service people working there. Those restaurants have the wait staff to handle the patrons, because it's going to ultimately fall back on the person not having a good experience in the city or town that they went to, and EV is going to be part of that psyche. So we need this to turn around, because it affects every industry. And another thing is you need people to get back to work, because you got to fill those buildings up so they can go and support those local businesses when they go on their lunch break or they have after dinner meetings or after office meetings. Like, people need to get back to normal and get back to work. Yeah. And back to a routine, a healthy routine.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. You hit it right on the nail. Is those filled up office buildings support local restaurants, local businesses, you know, local hotels, local everything, right? Because without them, and I know that I have a Verizon headquarters right by where I live, massive office building. I don't even know how many stories high. It's tall, but I know that. You know, and that it's been empty. It's been empty forever. But, you know, that's the tough situation, because I talked to the local business owners around it, and, you know, it's hit them hard. It's definitely hit them hard. And I'm not just talking a restaurant. I'm talking even a dry cleaners, you know. So, you know, it's things like that. But we hope it turns around, and, you know, want to obviously offer all the support to our local businesses that are even listening in. So thank you, guys. So the next piece, and I'm sure each one of you has heard this, and if you haven't, then I'm obviously going to talk about it. So Southwest Airlines, this was just a chaotic situation. I was kind of following this in the way that what actually happened. The first thing was it was air traffic control. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's usually only like two people in that air traffic control tower. You know, are you missing two people? Because then all the other flights are going to have an issue, and we're just going to have a major issue overall at this airport. Or whichever airport it was. But then I saw the next news conference come out, and then I heard the Southwest CEO, where he said that we're working on scheduling changes or scheduling challenges, I should say. And then I find out that they had a lot of pilots that called out sick. So I don't really have the answer to what exactly happened here, but that's a lot of cancellations.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of cancellations. I even talked to a few people that were trying to get a flight. I know one person with like almost was it like 10, 15 people? They rented a U-Haul truck and ended up just kind of getting home that way or finding their way to other places. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, I'll go to Jeff first here. And Jeff, I'll ask you, I know you do a lot of travel. I mean, did this affect you guys in any way? Or what do you, I mean, how did you take it? Or anybody you know, how did they take this?
Yeah, my parents, they kind of come and watch the games, you know. So they came and they left on Monday morning, Monday morning, which, you know, 25% of the flights were canceled that way or that day. They were on Southwest. They happened to get out. But, I mean, if they would have been stranded, they would have had to, you know, book another hotel room. They would have had to find it. They would have had to look for a rental car, which they wouldn't have been able to find. So just one, you know, company's miss, you know, whatever happened, you know, affects a lot of people, right? And I know that if I was flying in the next month or so, that Southwest app wouldn't be the first one that I would click on, you know.
Absolutely. Like that. Yes. Very true, Jeff. I think just coming from you, and I know you do a lot of traveling and especially with your team. So, you know, well said. Brian, I know you got a lot to say on this.
I'm going to be careful how I articulate all this. So, yeah, the few points you made, if it was a tower issue, then it would be an even percentage across all airlines having an issue. And I think it touched on a couple of airlines that had a fairly small number compared to Southwest, bigger number. And as I was reading the article, I was thinking, this reminds me of Dennis Quaid from Independence Day when they needed all the old Air Force pilots to come in and fly the fly the fighter planes to kill the aliens. But this is the reality, and you know, and people love and hate me because I just say what it is. You have very specialized skill, right, that needs to be able to fly these big pieces of equipment with a lot of responsibility behind them. We're going to compare them to brain surgeons. You know, there's a very limited amount of people that do this skill, and they have to go through a lot of schooling, a lot of insurance that these companies hold on these pilots. You cannot easily replace them. You cannot easily fill them in with other workers. And it falls back on the taboo word of the world is vaccine. You have people that are being forced to do things that they don't want to do, or I shouldn't say forced. People are being asked to do things that maybe they don't want to do. And when it hits a very specialized industry like the commercial airline industry, where you can't just say, okay, you don't want to fly this plane, you're fired, and here's another person, that pool of people is very almost impossible to find, because the industry continues to be extremely on fire. Outside of COVID, it was in major growth mode. All these airlines were ordering Boeing and Airbus planes. There was a huge backlog. So, there was already huge demand and need for pilots and stewardess and flight attendants and staff. And if they don't want to participate in the mandates that these companies are pushing down, this is the problem you run into. And it will see in other industries as well, where it's a very specialized skill that you can't easily replace. So that's my take and theory on that situation. And I feel bad for the pilots. I really do.
I agree with you, Brian. I think having a vaccine mandate really kind of, you know, puts people in a corner of some sort, right? So sometimes they don't feel comfortable. I just have a theory behind this. Is I felt like they were watching the Kyrie Irving show from the Brooklyn Nets and know that he's not going to play. And they said, okay, we're not going to fly. So
that's a big pull. If he has that kind of pull, that's good.
But you know, Calvin.
Yeah. I think about with Southwest, you know, I do a lot of keynotes and I talk about things that it takes to be an iconic brand and things like that. And Southwest to me was one of the airline darlings. I mean, they were known for their standout experiences and all of that. They had earned so much equity around customer experience. And this is going to hurt them. I mean, it's going to take some time to rebuild this equity and trust back with the consumer.
Right. And And I would even say and add it on to that, Calvin. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
that's all right.
There was a reason why Southwest wasn't selling on OTAs. You couldn't buy a ticket for Southwest on Expedia and Kayak and all that, right? It's because they had a base that was so loyal, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
when you tarnish that loyal base, I mean, it's bad news. It's real bad news, especially that you weren't selling on those channels.
Yes.
So I think this is you're very right in that. This is going to hurt them, and it's going to hurt for a while. But go ahead. You were saying.
You said it. It's going to take them a while to come back and earn the trust. Once you know, it could take you years to build that kind of equity in your brand, but only one big mistake can cost you. It's the reputation you've built over time and the consistency that you've created. So I just they had a lot of damage control to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
going to take some time to earn that equity back. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. So guys, we're going to go from planes to cars. Okay, as Brian was stating, these big equipment, right? To what I call this a luxury equipment.
Yeah.
And let's get into, so I don't know if you guys heard, Porsche is going to be part of this group that launches 15 hotels worldwide. I knew about this, I think it was like a month or two ago.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
I think I spoke about this, right? A month or two ago, something of that sort. And, you know, I know, I don't know if the first one's in Dubai, but somewhere, I believe the group is out of Dubai or around that sort of part of the world. And I love this idea. I simply love this idea because, you know, where Porsche comes in, I know they're going to open in New York. They're going to open in Miami as well. You're going to be able to utilize Porsche with this, not only as a design aspect, but as a brand aspect. You know, Porsche is all around. Their brands are everywhere, with watches, attire, you name it, right? But they are also going to have rental cars and shuttles that'll be physically a Porsche vehicle. So I think this is a phenomenal idea. I mean, there's the design, the technology, and the lifestyle, even the wellness and gym area that are 1,000 square foot. But I'll go to you, Brian. You're the great brand innovator. So
this is great. You're my biggest fan out there, Ken. we know the Porsche group very well. The Porsche consulting actually was behind the Boxable, which is the fully manufactured modular home. So Porsche and their group came in to design the first factory in Las Vegas, a fully automated home building. So it'd be interesting to see how that could carry over into the hospitality space as well. But, you know, Lamborghini's done this with their hotel brand in the Middle East and Dubai, that licenses is you expect a high-end, very white glove experience. Bulgari, same thing with their brand. A lot of these roll out in Dubai, Singapore. You know, if you saw that article, they picked the best cities in the world that have highest affluency. So, you know, what's nice about it is you can cater to that Porsche owner, where they can connect with the brand. It'd be nice if they put showrooms in these hotels so you can further enhance the economics of how you can monetize that building. And, you know, it's some brands, I would say it's gimmicky. I don't think this looks gimmicky. I think this looks like a nice play for the brand. They already have a huge customer base that they can promote and market to. You put these packages together to help their dealers around the world where they're trying to move cars. If a hotel goes up where there's also dealerships, you have that synergy. So yeah, I think it's a smart move. And they have all the experience in giving the customer what they want at a very high-end level. So, you know, if anybody can do it good, I think they can.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, when I saw this and the group they partnered with, they're obviously been in the hotel business for 90 plus years. So I think it's a phenomenal idea. And, you know, I've seen those other hotels that you're referring to, Brian, as well. And, you know, this definitely sounds like something a lot more than those brands, right? So,
but to a certain level, it's still nothing like EV.
No, absolutely not. Let's not even compare
even
that.
Even being corny, I mean, you saw nothing about the technologies that'll be thrown. You saw nothing about that besides the name. you know, and
yeah,
that's
it.
Yeah. So,
but we don't, we're better than Porsche.
I love it. Yes, sir.
That's gonna be on the sign. We're better than Porsche.
We're better.
you have to put a Lamborghini and a Porsche together to get an EV, you know?
Yeah.
But Calvin?
Yeah, I agree with Brian. They have the brand equity to do that. I mean, they're known for certain things. They're known for high quality, you know, excellence in design, all of that. So they're just leveraging what people know them for. And, you know, as I always say, we live in an experience economy. People want experiences, and they can deliver that. And so, I mean, only certain brands can extend like that. So,
yeah,
everybody can't do it. But Porsche.
No. And I would tell you is that, you know, how long is it going to go for? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we'll see if there's longevity behind it. For me, I think the consumer is going to look at going there once, twice, and not return the third time, you know?
Yeah.
So, but Jeff?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, you know, along your lines, Ken, mm-hmm. people who you have a Porsche go there and they say, hey, I'm going to go to the Porsche Hotel or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's gimmicky. I think it's, you know, it would be a nice experience, but I don't think it would be, I don't have much to say on the subject besides it would be a nice experience. The brand doesn't have to put much into promoting it because it's already built up. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's all right. We know you're going to be at EV.
You'll be at EV, right?
Yeah, we know you'll be at EV. We'll just park a Porsche right in the front and that's what you need, you know? But so guys, let's kind of move on and We'll take it right to the hotel data, right? I'm going to quickly discuss. I'm not going to pull up the article. There's really nothing to see in the article, but it's by Hospitality Net. The article was up there. So the hotel data for this past week has been a huge surprise, and I'm not saying positive. It's been a decline. You know, the top 25 markets, the ADR declined, okay? San Francisco is still at the bottom. It's been at the bottom for a very long time now, and it's just not doing anything. San Francisco's just been there. That top 25 plunged. Decline of 66% in the country's largest markets, New York City, Seattle. But there's a positive in this. There's still two very strong markets. They're both from Florida. One we already know. It's been the same way. Nothing has happened. They don't even know what COVID is. They have no idea. And that's Miami. Everybody knows Miami. So, but what surprised me was Tampa. And I'm not going to say I'm overly surprised, but I'm surprised in a way. But, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning's owner has done tremendous work for that whole side of Tampa. He's invested so much money. You know, and that sports market is so well, you know, and I think that these other markets would do well. But the factor in this, why this has been a surprise, is the airport screenings were up, but the hotel demand was down. I'm going to go to Calvin here. Calvin, you know, what do you think? You look like you're just surprised and you're like, I don't even want to answer this right now.
I don't even want to touch this one. I'm surprised by it too, about why the other markets aren't seeing any growth. I don't know. It's just, I'm just perplexed by it. I am perplexed that so much of it is concentrated in Florida that's doing well. And I didn't know about this guy investing so much in Tampa,
which he invested good tons.
And I'm sure that probably has helped, but you would still think of the other markets, you would see some level of growth. I'm perplexed.
I'm gonna give you that answer after everybody goes.
All right, I'm waiting for that.
Brian?
So let's tie it into experience, and we've talked about many times these hotels are not offering experience that guests want. And now you have to throw into the pie, not recently, but over the last 5 years, you have Airbnb Vrbo, VRBO. You have all these other
options,
all this other options and access to where can you stay when you're going into a city or a town. And if you're going with a group of people, it's so much more economic to let's go get this Airbnb or this VRBO. It sleeps six people. And now you're paying $120 a night opposed to paying, you know, $300 a night and the taxes and all this other stuff. So the economic side, and people know they're not going to get what they want in a hotel or a resort because they haven't gotten it in years. That's what I believe is skewing the data. If you have an influx of people landing into a city, but they're not going to hotel rooms, well, you know, unless they're sleeping on the street or on the beach, they have to be going somewhere. So
the other
options are family or these home or condo rentals that are easily available.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's logical.
Yeah, I mean, Airbnb is obviously one of the things that I truly believe in, and what has happened here. But Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, going off Brian's point, you know, Florida is kind of branded as where old people go to retire, right? So, I don't know, maybe people are visiting their grandparents or whatever. But, I mean, I think people are still traveling to Florida because they still, you know, Florida's kind of branded as you can kind of do whatever you want during COVID. There's no restrictions. Just come do whatever you want. And, you know, I think people just want to be able to cut loose. And, you know, I think that's what's making it attractive in both of those markets. And I'm sure those aren't the only two markets that have been doing well in the state.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. I've said, you know, with Tampa, I think just that sports industry takes that place over. With the Lightning, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, fortunately what happened with the Tampa Bay Rays with baseball, but you know,
spring training down there every season.
Yeah, spring training as well. So big things. So I kind of want to just add into that as well is, you know, there was some data that I pulled out that I was looking at over the weekend as well, is Airbnb saves $110 on a three night for a business traveler on an average. So, and that was one factor. The second factor that the guests, 68% of them are stating that they're not going to stay at hotels and they're going to choose whether it's Vrbo, whether it's Airbnb or Sonder, one of them, is because of the daily housekeeping. They're like, we're not getting housekeeping anymore. We basically have to do our housekeeping. So why are we going to stay at a hotel? We might as well get whatever we want to do with these more of the Airbnbs, Vrbos, and the Sonders. And the third thing is they chose technology. They chose technology. And they're like, look, at this point, if we're staying in one of these places that are Airbnb, we look at how smart the places are. And they look for a smart thermostat. They look for a smart lighting and all of these other things. So I think there's a lot of things that go into this, but, you know, I don't think the industry is understanding it. So if you are listening, pull up the data, Google why people choose Airbnb. You'll find it all.
But must add to that, Airbnb bought Hotel Tonight two or three years ago. So
yes,
they obviously like the space, and most likely a data play, but they obviously like the hotel space because they do play in it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. And I just keep seeing this stuff coming out, and I'm just like, I hope people are listening. And I think, Brian, you were commented on that poll that I had up there. Never thought this poll was going to get 20 something thousand views, 100 comments, and all of this. And everybody was laying out. I said, the poll question, if I can just remember, was, we have a lot of positions in hospitality and hotels. If you had to pick one, if you just had to pick one, which one would you pick? And I think there were four questions. And general manager, director, sales, revenue manager. And I think Brian put director of guest experience, right? If I'm correct, guest experience. Yeah. And I'm all about that. I think it's a centric experience that the guest is looking for. You know, they're looking for that. So I truly believe in that.
Yeah. Ken, let me, and one more thing, you know, I was talking to another guy. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm not going to say what brand it was, but it was pretty known.
Well, come on now.
I'm not. But they were pretty much known for their quality and cleanliness.
Yeah.
But what has happened over COVID, they cut back on their QA team. So What's also happening is a lot of these brands, they don't have the quality assurance. They pulled back and they kind of let the owners do their thing. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing deterioration. And the rooms just aren't as clean and the maintenance isn't as good. They're not touching up these rooms. So people are seeing these hotels, they don't look good anymore.
No, so, they absolutely don't. No, so you're
that's a huge factor. So people are not going to spend money for that kind of experience. If they're going into these rooms and things are rusty, things are not looking like they've been kept, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, expectations, you know, for these brands have, you know, they're in a certain position and they're paying the same and getting a lot less.
You know,
in a consumer's mind, that just, it doesn't make sense to pay for all these amenities that you're not even going to get.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. I agree with that. And, you know, obviously there's a lot to this, right? There's a lot to this. I think the brands are clearly not understanding what the right from the wrong is right now. Hopefully they get it right. You know, we want to make sure everybody succeeds here. So, but I'm okay if they get it wrong because an EV steps in. So, you know,
don't get it right. Bingo. Yet. Hold back.
Yeah.
Keep laundering.
Yeah. So let me take you guys to the job report, and I'll kind of make this quick with the last two pieces. So, you know, we're at our 2-minute warning here. So the job report, we only had 194,000 jobs that were added, only 74,000 added for hospitality. Hourly wages rose by 0.5%. Now, the experts said there were going to be 500 jobs added, and they expected the unemployment rate to go down to 5.1%. Now, we didn't add the jobs. They had incorrect information on the jobs when only 194 were added, right? But the unemployment rate went down to 4.8%, and they thought it was going to be at 5.1%. So what I'm not understanding here is how do they have more jobs that were going to be added, and then only 0.1% was going to come down on the unemployment rate? So that didn't quite make sense to me. Where the unemployment rate went down to 4.8%. I can't even tell you the last time I remember the unemployment rate to be at 4.8%. I remember in 2018, it was 5.2% when we were struggling in hospitality, but it was definitely mind-boggling that we only added 74,000 jobs. Now that puts us between August and September with a net of 74,000 jobs, because August we didn't add any. We had a net of zero. So in hospitality, that is, it's kind of crazy to see these numbers. No one can figure it out. No one has the answer, you know, and if someone tells you they have the answer, I don't think they have the answer. So,
if they have the answer, bring them to the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, people ask me, they send me a message on LinkedIn is why do you think they only added these many jobs? I said, I have no reason. I have no answer. I should say it's mind boggling to me anything else. Like, as in, look, there's reasons why. There's just not one reason. There's so many different reasons on why this is all happening, right? There's just so many different reasons. So obviously everyone has their own reason for it. And that's what I truly believe. But Brian?
I can go on for 12 hours on this topic. But yeah, I don't even know what I can add. You kind of touched on a lot of the points.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing there. It's just, I felt like our audience should really know this job report and what is going on. We don't want them to think there's only 74,000 jobs that were added for hospitality. No one wants to work. I don't think it's not that they don't want to work. There's obviously other things involved into this. So I will. Did you want to add anything, Jeff? Or you're good? Okay. So I'll go to my last piece. And this was really mind-boggling to me. But, you know, I don't want to trash a brand CEO in any way. This is not the intention. So Hilton, you know I love you. Chris Nassetta, you know I like you. I'm not going to say I love you, but I like you. You know? But, you know, I think I just didn't understand this. This made no sense to me whatsoever at all. Is that when a company like Hilton has a net loss of $715 million, your compensation to your CEO goes from $21.37 million to $55.87 million. How does that happen in a COVID time and their stock only goes up 3/10%? I don't know. That's just mind boggling to me. I mean, obviously I know Brian, you're involved a lot with the market. Maybe you can chime in to this one.
Yeah, I would love to.
Well, let's look at the reality. Let's look at it by market cap. A year ago, Hilton stock was $55. Now it's nearing $144. So there is a tremendous lot of value that this leadership has brought to that brand. Now, whatever a CEO in a public situation gets, I hate that that person gets crucified because the board approved it, and that's the package. So if that's the package that he got, God bless him, cash a check and spend it in the economy and buy things and keep that money moving. Right. So I don't fault anybody for getting a package. They have to perform or they get fired. Now, if that stock went from $55 down to $10, guess what? The guy gets nothing. So look at the flip side of that, too. He also reduced his salary. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do believe it took a pay cut.
350, yeah. It was 350. It got reduced from 1.29 million.
Yeah. So he's doing a good job as far as making the value of the Hilton stock have market value. That means they have the ability to go to the street. They're bankable. They can go borrow money at very low rates. They can continue to keep their properties and staff employed. Looking at the stock value and what and you know, well deserved what he got, but he better continue to keep that stock at least where it's at, where it's bankable, valuable, and that market cap is strong, because then he could support the brand, all the properties, all the employees, and everything that Hilton ecosystem does for hospitality. So I'm all for it. God bless the guy.
So yeah, I just hope they stay out of the lawsuit game. So.
Well, anybody knows how to say the lawsuit game, call me because I haven't figured that out.
You know, I mean, it's I just been hearing things about the, you know, like all the brands have a few lawsuits here and there. But I mean, I've always said, look, Hilton's found a way in the last 3-4 years how to keep getting better. Right. They've done it with the Home 2. They've done it with the Hampton. They just opened a 500 Home 2 in a matter of what, I think 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. They're getting some international exposure with the Hampton now opening in China and other countries. So, you know, they're doing a great job. I think it's the biggest thing for them where I feel that they're struggling with is innovation. So hopefully they pick up the slack. But once again, I'm okay if you don't, because Evie's going to surprise them. You know, yeah. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the, you know, the biggest companies in the world, the top performers, they do. I mean, they're compensated well, and that's what gets the best, you know, talent into these companies. And I've just always thought if it wasn't good for both sides, that the company wouldn't do it. If they didn't think that this person was worth it, then they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. They think he's worth more than, you know, the compensation that he's getting, or else they wouldn't do it. But, you know, with something like that does come a lot of responsibility. And obviously they think that he can continue to perform. So that's just my two cents, you know.
I know that's nothing, Jeff. I'm probably what you've kind of raked in since you've been in the NFL, the salary looks, it looks like donuts right now.
Hey, I wish that was the case. I wish that was the case.
Calvin?
Well, you know I'm a Hilton alumnus, so.
I know. That's one of the good things.
You put me on the spot. But here's the deal. I think.
Well, that's why I said all the good things, you know.
Yeah, you did. But I agree with you 100%. I'm not going to really, you know, talk about the compensation because obviously, like you said, he deserved it. But yeah. But Hilton does do some great things, and I mean they were on Fortune's list for one of the best places to work, top 10 recently. And so one thing that I know about Chris is he focuses on culture a lot.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what I love the most about him too.
Culture is everything, man. Yeah. And you know, even when I was speaking to Anifa today, I talking to the leadership there, I said, man, you know, I know it's hard getting people, but focus on the people you have. Focus on retaining who you have. So, you know, you could focus on the things you could control. And so I'd say focus on building that positive culture, man. Make sure people feel like they're valued and all of those things, because that's really where you're going to win. What did Peter Drucker say? Culture eats strategy for breakfast. and I am a huge proponent for that. So, you know, I just really think that what Hilton does well is build a positive culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's equity in that. And so, hey. Like you say, power to Chris, but I think he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah, no,
Ken, we want you to have that package too. So.
Oh man, you know what?
Perform.
I would love that package, man.
Perform. I want $4 billion in revenues next year. You get that same.
EV, I'm looking for my package.
Man, that's one hell of a package. I'll tell you that.
I better build some great cultures with that.
I want Elon Musk's package, the one he just got. You know, I mean, man, I'll be good at that point. You know, I might just take everybody on a SpaceX. Let's just all go.
Go with William Shatner.
Yeah, and then just have everybody say what Shatner says. I'm overwhelmed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But. Awesome, guys. Great show today. Always thank you for your support. Thanks for everybody tuning in. We had great comments, obviously, from Brandy Peterson. Looks like Juan Chavez, Nathan, all these people that were commenting in. Thank you for your support. We love you guys. We're going to have a great show next week as well. All the articles are going to be posted on the EV Hotel LinkedIn site. We thank SurferQuest for being a great sponsor, Catherine Conan and her team over there, woman-owned business. They're in Pennsylvania. Great job, ladies. Thank you for being our great sponsor, and obviously this show sponsored by EV Hotel and powered by EV Human. So thank you, Brian Esposito, Calvin Stovall, and Jeff Dresco for being here. Look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.